thinking about you. Yeah, I've been thinking about you. Atlantic Star, when love calls, you better answer. Hey, welcome everyone to Studio W, your radio broadcast around the globe, across the universe. Tell a friend about it and welcome right now. The next thing you hear after this, the Soul Savage Show with Q-Lynn Green, and tonight, Whitney will be right back. We'll be right back. what I'm talking about. Number one, all time, the greatest ever. Michael Jackson. Hey, welcome everyone to the Soul Savage Show. Hey, and our host tonight, it's going to be a wild show. I hope last week was off the charts. Tonight, you know, get ready and give up to our host, Q, Lynn, and Whitney.
Hey, what's that? Be back another day.
Ladies.
I'll play that song because rest on Wawa Watson. He just passed away today. He played the guitar on this. He's like, you don't know who that is? A legendary guitarist. He played on The Temptations, Popcorn, Rolling Stone, and then two records off of the Off the Wall album. This one and Girlfriend, and there was another one he played on. But yeah, he also did the guitar riff off of Maxwell's Till the Cops Come Knocking. He's on a lot of records, and he was still working. And he's doing some records with Adrian Young and Ali Sadiq from Tribe Called Quest. Like, he was really out here doing some stuff. So, rest on to him. He's one of my favorite guitarists, Wawa Watson. But, yeah, I played that song because he passed away today. I mean, yeah, today. So, yeah, rest on to him and condolences to his family. And, Evie's gone this week. I just found that out earlier today. He's going to the... Robert Glasper has a residency at the Blue Note, and so he's been there for a whole month, I think 47-day residency. Robert Glasper, the piano, the musician, he's had, like, Bilal, I think this week he had Bilal performing with him, and a whole lot of great musician cats hitting, so I think this is his last residency day. One of my friends actually played on Monday night. They were, he's a drummer. Nice. He played Monday night at the Blue Note, but... Robert's been doing the residency, I think, certain days through the week. So yeah, that's pretty fun. If I was in New York, I probably would went too. So shout out to EB, getting his life to Robert Glasper this week and having fun and all that great stuff. I'm not gonna hold y'all long with. I'm sounding like we like we in church or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna hold y'all long. No, because I don't have that many savvy updates because I haven't updated. It's taken me a while to upload all the, I'm gonna be honest as well, I've been out here running these streets. And so I've been waking up at like 2 in the afternoon and stuff. Late nights and early mornings and I'm sleeping through the day. It's been like long weeks. But it's work related as well.
It is work related. It's all work.
Pleasure and work happen both at the same time.
It's all work, right, Whitney? I don't know.
Bills is gonna be paid. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
I'm out here running these streets, but it's for a good cause. It's for a reason. So, with that being said, I'm trying to update on the website, and I haven't been able to get to it. For one, because it takes like hours. Y'all understand how long it takes to post.
Yeah, and you sleep in during the day.
It takes me like 2 hours
running the streets at night.
Listen, that's business and pleasure. I'm not explaining to you. It's two things happening at
the one that brought it up. I don't know.
It ain't my fault that they have open bars and stuff like that as to when I go to it when we're trying to talk business. That ain't my fault, okay? It ain't my fault that I leave with gifts and stuff like that.
I have a quick question. May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
How come you are meeting at a decent hour, maybe in an office building or something like that? How come?
Listen, this is the entertainment business. It's the music business. If it fits, we have afternoon meetings and stuff like that. We have to do it at a concert, or we have to have the meeting there, or we have to have it at a party. Like, we just mix it and mingle it. That's what it is.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you've heard a damn thing at a concert? There's too much music going on. People, you can't get it.
Backstage, we rapping backstage.
Contact
numbers. Yeah, I'm getting.
I don't know.
Whitney knows. Whitney. You saw me in action. Whitney. That's all I do. Oh. Whitney,
that is true. That is true. Like, she be on it.
That's all I'm doing.
She be on it.
Okay.
All right. Like, they left me at the place where I was still talking.
Now, I don't know what happened after I left. but while I was there, absolutely.
No, man, that's just what it was. That's all it is. And I just, my aunt was like, man, you really do be working late, because I didn't, because I told y'all I was staying at a relative's house, and I told her she was going to say that they was going to wait up for me. I was like, well, don't do that, because I don't know what time. I was being honest. I don't know what time I'm getting in, because I thought it was going to be 12, but it ended up being like almost 2 a.m. in the morning. And when I came in the house, whatever, she had gave me a key or whatever to get in, and she was like, hey, you do get in late. I was like, yeah. I was like, that's why I ain't having no spouse or none of that, no kids or none of that, because you just imagine me, like, being gone. Like, I leave, like, 6 a.m., and then I get home that night.
Right. Oh, that explains it.
6 a.m. to 11. And
yeah.
So,
okay.
That's a whole day gone.
That explains it to any boyfriend or future boyfriend that you will never be loyal 100%. It's almost loyal. You just can't do
it. Listen, the person I'm with now, they understand it. Cause that's why you deal with people that get it. See, you over there laughing. I'm being serious. Like, that's what happens when you.
Now that makes sense.
You know what? EB.
Cause the people I used to deal with, like, when I was younger, like, they didn't get it. They understand it. And then most times, it's like jealousy, envious things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, well, it's good to be you. I'm like, it's just work. It's just not
a
regular.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's hard for people that's not in the business that understand it.
Yeah, I get it now.
People that don't have a level of understanding of it, they can't handle it. Like, if they was like,
I get it.
If you suit your buzz, they probably wouldn't understand it if they, you know, they're not in the radio world. They don't get, like, this long hours into it.
In the radio, we don't understand.
They get it and understand it, where we ain't got to keep having a conversation every week about it.
Are you kind of, knocking what I do?
Like, I'm out here doing whatever I want to. That ain't what I'm saying either. I'm saying that you just gotta have an understanding of what's going on.
Well,
you don't be mad all the time, because I'm not gonna be there.
I'm not angry. I get a better understanding.
No. I'm saying just anybody in general that's dating somebody like that, they're going to be mad all the time because that person not be home. And I'm like, that's annoying on top of that. Because it's like, dang, you got something else to do. You ain't got nothing else to do. Go sleep or something. It's certain people that get mad about that. I'm like, dang, business of your own, and then you wouldn't be mad all the time.
Well,
that's
you know,
the problem, because people don't have nothing else to do besides worrying about other people and what they worry about.
Well, I'm getting a clear understanding
now.
That's
what makes somebody want to cheat on somebody. You worrying about what I'm doing all the time. I'm just saying.
I'm going to clear.
That could be a topic of the night. We need to get in that, because I was watching Jada's show with her mom and her daughter, and I was like, it made me. And I saw people's comments on it, and I was like, man, I need to make that a topic. I was going to make it a topic anyway, but we're going to make it a topic tonight. Talk about that and just the aspect of cheating. Like, I want to get to two sides of that. Like, really, like, ask the question, like, an honest question.
I've got to hear this.
And I ain't even joking about it. Like, this is my honest thought of, like, what's the thing. But we're going to get into that later. But, Whitney, I was going to ask you, I keep getting to ask you, because I was going to ask you last week. Who was it that took the picture of us when we was at ICE that week? Who was that was taking a picture? Who's that?
I didn't. Wasn't that, didn't Levante grab that person to ask them to take it?
I don't know. That's all I'm asking you.
It wasn't me.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't me, because you seen he was trying to holler at me.
I thought it was Levante's, but... No, he ain't got a post on the thing, so I'm just thinking it's just somebody that wanted to take a picture, because I didn't know what.
Yeah, it was just somebody being nice. I mean, I didn't know who the person was.
I didn't know what that. Oh, that's cool as hell. I didn't even know that. I thought it was somebody y'all knew. They just wanted to see.
No.
I know people kept asking us what we had going on. That's why we got to set something up to go back there. We definitely going to start. That's another reason. That's another implement of why I'm out here in these streets, because I'm trying to get all this situated with doing live shows. That's another reason why I'm out. I'm trying to.
Yeah, now that was good. Things. That was fun.
Right. Okay.
I liked them. That was a good atmosphere.
We got to bring it to the audience, though, because I won't be on the side, because that was too loud. I didn't like,
man. I was screaming in this mic. Like, people going to think I'm yelling, but I couldn't hear myself.
I thought to bring my headphones, but I was like, nah, because we doing it in front of everybody, but he was like, nah, you're going to do it during the show. I was like, what? I was like, we'll figure it out. I was like, we'll figure it out. But, yeah, I ain't got no updates because I haven't. For one, it's mostly the same ones. Thank y'all for that sending comments and stuff like that. It's mostly the same ones of y'all saying how much y'all love the show, and the different things you talk about. I know the show, I haven't posted other ones from the past few weeks, but just the ones that were backed up that I never read because we didn't do any savvy updates. I mean, read listener questions in a while. But thank y'all for reading all the ones. I didn't read all of them. I answered the one of what somebody said. Have we ever gotten in trouble for something we said? I remember I saw that question in the email. I think y'all answered it whenever I was gone. But I just say it wasn't on here. It was mostly on, like, Twitter. like I had Roland Martin felt the way about something I tweeted about him. And then what else was it? Curtis Blow. That was random. I was like, because thing was, they all commented, like, weeks later. And so I don't do Twitter threads. And so I like, tweet, like, most of the time people put Twitter threads. My thoughts is random. And so when I have, like, a string of thoughts, I just tweet them all out at the same time, and it don't provide context with it. In Twitter threads, you can follow the thread of tweets or whatever. I don't do that. I just be tweeting whatever's on my mind because I'm still used to old Twitter where you just tweet whatever, like 10 tweets. And so I was tweeting. The first one was Curtis. The Curtis Blow happened first. It was random because it was just I was watching a documentary, and they was talking about, like, rapper names and how it started or whatever. And I was like, yo, Curtis Blow name. Or it was just something random. I forgot how Curtis Blow became a topic. But I was like, yo, his name sounds like Coke, like a Coke 80s rap name. I was like, Blow equals, Ski. I was like, Ski equals white. I was like, white equals snow. And I was like, snow equals cocaine. That was the tweet. And Curtis Blow retweeted it. He was like, nah, that's not, he's like, it could mean, you know, he gave like a Bible scripture. It was like, it could be white as snow or so. I forgot what that, it was like Isaiah or something, Proverbs, something related to snow. He's like, that's what it could mean. And I was like, my bad, legend. I was just saying that your name sounds like a Coke name or whatever. He started laughing. So he thought it was funny. He read it out of context because I had like a single tweet behind it, but when you read it out of context, it looks like I'm ditching it, but I was like, no, I'm saying your name sounds like, I'm not saying that's your name, like that's where it came from, I'm just saying it sounds like a Coke name, and he thought it was funny. And then also, Roland Martin, I was tweeting through Aretha's homegoing service, and I was just throwing them out there. I had a bunch of tweets, I was just throwing a bunch of tweets during that homegoing service, and one of them, they kept panning the camera to the audience sometimes, and the crowd, and Roland Martin was in, like, the few rows up, and I saw him. I was like, yo, he dressed like he about to go on a yacht instead of at a, like, I wasn't, like, dissing what he was had on. I was just saying he looked like.
Yes, you were.
I was just saying he looked like he was aboard a yacht instead of going to church. Yeah. I had never seen nobody wear an ascot to church. I thought it was interesting. He looked good. I was like, it wasn't that wrong, but I just never seen nobody wear an ascot but that. And then he was like, Sister Aretha, you know, like, he tweeted me. He was like, nah, she liked when I wore ascots, and so I wore this ascot in tribute to her. I was like, my man, you look good. Like, right.
Why did you apologize?
He thought it was funny.
Okay,
and the only reason why he thought it was funny is because he retweeted. I hate when people retweeted to get their followers to try to go at me, but all his followers laughed at it, so it backfired on him, and so he had to laugh at it. But they all said it was funny when I tweeted it, but he got, I think he was a little offended by it, but he eventually said it was funny. But I think he only said it was funny because everybody else was laughing, and he was trying to make me look crazy with his followers, and they backfired. They started laughing at him. I was like, yo, it just looked like that. I said way worse on this show. Like, I've said it.
Oh,
like,
yes, you have.
I ain't gonna repeat it. I go to the other shows if y'all fans like that from last year and listen to it. But we're gonna go to break real quick. And will we do your segment next?
Oh, okay.
Rage. So if he's ready with the next song, we'll go to break real quick. And we got guest host Lee Trevor coming on Music Producer when we come back. Can you feel it, girl?
The feeling that we feel now, wish we could seal it in a bottle with a kiss now, and keep it running for forever, never break down. Keep our heads in the clouds, our heads in the clouds, Baby, tonight I feel like you and me been chosen to take our place in the stars where fairy tales are. Ooh, baby, can you
play? You can. Can you feel the magic in the air?
As you can. So baby, we can take it slowly. Just you and the groove is all I need to hold me. Living life on the floor with nowhere to go. Can you?
Dave Hollister. Oh, Neverland. And welcome back to the Soul 70 Show with our fabulous host on tonight, the brilliant Q Lynn Green and ever so wonderful Whitney. Hey, ladies, great show. I'm sorry. We'll let Q Lynn get.
Will, I'm feeling that intro. I just want to let you know that real quick. I like that. Put that out there.
Okay. Hey, we'll keep it like that, all right? How about that? Hey, whatever.
I was saying, these are my songs from my favorite producers, and Warren Campbell produced this one, the great Warren Campbell, Dave Hollister. I like this album. This is his latest album that came out. Well, no, not his latest, because he had one that came out last year, but I wasn't really feeling it. But the one before, this one, it jams. That song is called Neverland. It's one of my favorites because it had like it's usually not like typical of Dave Hollister because usually he do like some real R&B, like croonerish, like, not croon. I said croon, like singing, like, and he do them kind of songs and it sounds kind of, he got like that churchy, R&B voice. And I don't really like R&B churchy singers, but I like with this album he did, he like made it more contemporary. Like it wasn't so like, he trying to keep up with everybody. It had like a nice flow of vintage sound to it, like 80s, sounds and stuff like that. He had like Teddy, he had like all different kind of producers on this album, but it was one of my favorite albums that came out in 2014. But yeah, I love that song off that album. But yeah, it's on Jams. Will, if you ready, we go do 6 minutes of rage with Will.
Oh, absolutely.
I was talking about all these bombs and stuff. I'm like, man.
We've got to get into crazy. This. It is absolutely crazy. As a matter of fact, you're still a part of my segment here. That's right. Woo! Yep, it is. Oh my God! And speaking of coons, thank you for that tip there, Q Lynn. Blacks that's out there allowing themselves to be pimped. All right, let me repeat myself in case you didn't hear the first time. Blacks allowing themselves to be pimped. What do I mean by that? Are you still going to vote for this guy who tells you that, hey, if you're from a shithole country, you or don't belong here in the first place. Oh, where did he come from? All right. And ho, chain migration. We don't want chain migration. How did his wife, parents get over here? But I tell you what, folks, you keep hanging around him. I just telling you right now, don't pick up the soap. Voter suppression. Hey, did you know this happened in Georgia? 40 black seniors were pulled off of a bus because, they were going to register to vote. Do you know voter suppression is real? And I tell you what, if everything were fair, why are these guys doing everything to keep the, non-white citizens from voting? And if you don't get out and vote, it's shame on you. I'm serious about this. This happened in Atlanta, Georgia at a center. There were 40 seniors on the bus and they were going to vote peacefully. And guess what? Some officials came and said, oh, you can't do this. It was against some made up law that they have. And also the AG there right there, I believe, I'm not sure what he's attorney general, whatever it is, but he's overseeing, guess what? The election there in Georgia. Hey, and guess what? He is going up against Stacey Abrams for governor in that state. And did you see the debacle in Florida? Oh my goodness. Well, Gillum just destroyed this clown down in Florida in a debate. And if you guys don't want to listen in, you better pay. It's best made TV on air. And speaking of coons, how about Uncle Ben Rice Carson? Just this week, he was asked a question about, oh, is Trump a racist? Oh, he says, well, you know what? He's a candidate for everybody. He's a president for everybody. This coon couldn't even answer the question. But guess what? He's also supporting a legislation right now, which is raising the rent for minority people out there while Trump is profiting. Because guess what? You guys may not have known this, but Trump and Jared Kushner is profiting from HUD because they own some of the houses. Pay attention. You better get out there and vote. And guess what? Hey, speaking of sellouts, how about Nigel Innes? Now you got everybody from Ben Carson inside with Nigel Innes on the outside. In case you guys don't know, he's a spokesman and he is also the spokesman for CORE. That stands for a coalition for racial equality. Well, guess what? Who his daddy was? Roy Innes, back in 1968, he destroyed the whole fabric of CORE because he started siding with the, guess what, big government and big business. Megyn Kelly on NBC. I believe, no, okay, check. I need to check my facts, but somebody says that NBC was letting her go or they already let her go. Hey, the comment she made about blackface. She came back and had, guess what, an interview with Roland Martin just yesterday this week. And guess what? He just destroyed her and educated her. And it was a diverse audience. Hey, thanks. Good going, Roland Martin. Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. Guys, if you don't know that these guys are the Klans without the hoods, you are fooling yourselves. And they're out there spewing this garbage and in lighting of bombs and terrorist attacks around in New York. I wish EB was on, because guess what? These things are real. As far as 10 packages have been discovered as of today. Two to Maxine Waters. They've sent them to President Obama, President Clinton. Guess what? And a whole, I can't believe this out. CNN. And guess who Trump blames for the bombs being sent? Guys, you got to pay attention. He blames the media. He said that because they're Dems. Oh, the Democrats. Oh, God, they are a mob. Well, guess what, clown? Who sent the packages? Which side was that? All right. Russia. Oh, the spy who lied. He said, hey, I got complete control of this guy right here. He listens to me. And while Russia is amping up their nuclear arsenal, Trump is getting ready to disavow and take away the treaty. Megyn Kelly, we talked about that as far as Halloween. The thing about blackface, in case you didn't know about it, it had to do with her making a reference, talking about Halloween. And it's okay for white people to dress up in blackface. Are you kidding me? Oh, God. Well, see, the problem is she's still going to get at least $67 million when they buy her contract. And speaking of Halloween, I've got some ideas for you, Megyn Kelly. Why don't you dress up as Kellyanne Conway? You can go a couple of things. You can do the scarecrow, or guess what? You'd be a skeleton. That one would be easy. Oh, General Kelly. Oh, Dr. Spock. Oh, in case you guys want to be Jeff Sessions, you can go with the Keebler Elf or my favorite Martian. All right. Oh my God. Did I? Oh, Cockeyed Sally. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. You know who I'm talking about. Sarah Huckabee. Really easy. Just get a big nose and you got it. Hey, this is my 6 minutes of rage here on The Buzz. Hey, back to you, Clue Lynn.
Man, you caught me mid, mid-bass. I was coughing. Sorry. It was residual 420 experience. But, like you said, yeah, Megyn Kelly, you talked about, are you laughing at Whitney? Don't, listen.
I was laughing at the comments that Will made with the Halloween costume.
Oh, I thought you laughed
That's
at me.
That's what I was laughing at. No.
I will not edit you because I think I got a habit or something like that. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Hey, you know what? I left out Miss McConnell. Good Lord. Gobble coming up Thanksgiving. That turkey.
Oh,
man.
He looked like a turkey.
Oh, you have to.
Oh, yeah.
Just get one of those. Just get one of those.
I've got one of the losers in Congress. That's who that is.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Somebody need to put an unlit cigarette on. Let me quit saying.
I forgot this one too. Hey, you know what, Q-Lan?
I wish somebody would put a lit cigarette on his nose.
I'm sorry. I left one out. And 45. You remember that blimp that flew over London? All right. Donald Trump. That blimp right there. Hey, that's it. You can do that. All right.
Everybody loves you. All right.
Or the Orange Agent. Orange Agent, either one will work.
Kanye, he loves me. I'm
good. Oh, Kanye.
Oh, Lord.
I was trying out my Trump impression.
It was actually good.
We're great. He's just a great, great man.
Are you doing the hands with it? Because you got to be doing the hands when you say it.
Yes, I am.
Bring it all together. Okay.
And you got to have your phone in your hand.
You know, Cricket Hillary, you know, and the emails, you know, all Democrats, you know, it's on both sides. You know, not one side, it's two sides.
And you got to be precious.
Very bigly. My numbers are very bigly amongst the blacks. Very bigly.
Very bigly.
Oh, Lord
I'm great.
Jesus.
He's great.
We're all great. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's real.
My God.
this is a real person we're talking about. That's crazy.
Yeah, but on a serious note, but Q-Lynn, these bombs is going on. I mean.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know whether you want to say that to the end of the show or not, you know, but.
No, I was just going to say it now. I didn't care.
Go on.
To me, I'm glad that law enforcement dealt with it soon because, you know, whether or not it was like a effective bomb or not, like, because they weren't going to open that shit anyway, like, you know, open them. You know, these are, like, highly intelligent people. We ain't talking about Trump supporters. We're talking about highly intelligent, you know, the Clintons still got, you know, Secret Service and stuff like that. And Obama, they sent it to their homes and stuff like that. It wasn't going to get open. But just the fact that they simple enough to do that, then it's actually more people, Robert De Niro, they sent stuff to CNN's headquarter office. They sent, they actually had it going off live. It was some kind of alert they have in the building, and it was going off live on TV, and you could see people in the background that worked there behind the scenes. They all, like, I guess, leaving the building or something like that because all that was going on. They had been on live TV, but, yeah, it's all, like, these are, like they have people that, you know, that handle that stuff like that. So I'm glad that they wasn't effective with, like, actually putting a bomb there. But, yeah. It's mostly all the
ready.
You know what it is.
You can't miss that though. You're missing out something here. Those bombs, hold on. There were 10 bombs. They could have gone off at any time. What about the people who are handling that stuff? All right. Not only the intended target. So it gets bigger than that. So you can't, you know.
I read up on it. They were alerted that these were bombs, but nobody, I'm not saying it wasn't. Serious, I'm saying that I'm glad they have people in place to where
of course.
They couldn't go off. Like,
of course.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm
you know, I tell you, you know what, I tell you what's really interesting. Do you know some Republicans are saying, like, the Democrats sent the bombs to set Trump up? How stupid is that?
I heard that.
Yep.
These are the same people that thought Hillary was a drug queenpin at pizza parlor. So
these people will believe.
Yeah. You're saying people would believe that she had smuggling drugs from Mexico to a pizza
Well, see, you, well,
they just put that stuff out there. Though,
they do, Whitney.
To distract from what's going on.
They started it as soon as it comes up. Okay, well,
yeah, they see the numbers and what everybody's doing. Ain't nobody, because I saw even people's reactions to it. They was like, "I'm not being fooled. I'm going to vote in the middle election. I'm glad people still keeping that energy and see what it is." And it's like, "I'm gonna vote regardless, and I'm glad it's more people involved." And posting stuff beyond that, because only people that have good common sense knows like what this is and what they're trying to do, trying to scare people into not voting.
Exactly,
that's all it is.
Exactly,
and whoever it is behind it, I'm pretty sure they're gonna find out who's behind it. But
exactly,
and if they don't find out who's behind it, you know that Trump got something to do with it. That's
well, guess what? He got everything to do with it because he's stirring this stuff
well,
up.
Well, I know he's the one
he's got everything to do with
rhetoric,
it.
But I'm saying that he could have had people in place that know about it, but I'm not putting that out there like he's the one setting up the bomb.
No. I didn't say that. But see, you have to understand something.
For the people listening in, that's going to interpret
okay,
that.
Okay. Please hear me out. You have to understand. It takes two components. You've got the evil forces that are going to perpetrate that, and then you got to have somebody to follow. All this tells you that you got a bunch of evil people out here and a whole bunch of dumb ass people that will follow evil. This is what you have to understand.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Because they're a bunch of puppets. Like, that's why, you know, destruction, that's why they lives in destruction now, because that's all they do is follow after people. And I have
been. Oh, man. But see, that's the dangerous part about it.
People that act like that, they take everything that somebody says for face value. And, you know, with certain people that call themselves leaders and stuff like that, they do the same exact thing. Just like in the church, if we want to be specific, like that's what it is. They follow behind the pastor. It's the same thing.
Because
people that don't think for themselves and want people to think for them, that's who you got, is a bunch of Trump supporters like that. They're dumb. And they always vote against their interests, but that's what it is. Like, none of it surprises me at this point. It's like, it's just be a matter of people awakening and say, hey, like, your vote matters and all this other bull crap. You can say whatever you want to say. Like, what we were talking about last week, to talk about the voting that happened in the 26th election. You can say what you want to say, but people didn't. On top of that, they wouldn't even have an up in the Electoral College if people would have voted. And that was just my whole point with it. And it's the same thing with this election. Like, y'all got to understand that the powers in y'all with elected senators, not even just senators, but your councilmen, your councilwomen, like, also, I guess we get into a sappy news, but I'm glad that the woman's son that died, Jordan Clark, the mother of Jordan Clark, she ran for district, in her district, and she won. That's the sappy news I was going to add in there, but we talk about politics, that's why I added it in there. But I'm glad it's like people like that vote, and also Michael Brown's mother is running for office in her area. So, yeah, it's like, it's negative and positive. I feel like it's way more positive than the negative. I feel like the big story of these bombs, that's just a way of trying to scare people to not vote. That's all it is. You saw all the crap he was saying before, talking about how they like a mob and stuff like that. Democrats to like create mobs and stuff like that. He's just trying to scare people, because that's all it is. That's what they do.
It's fear.
Trying to scare people because they know people want to vote. People are trying to vote. New age voters like that turning 18. This year and stuff like that, and so that, and just like with all the stuff you're talking about with Florida, I saw a clip of that of Andrew Gillum that's running for governor in Florida. He handled it real well.
Yeah,
like, you know, scandal with him and that whole thing with the, I'll talk about now before we get to Raggedy News, but that whole robot call thing of his, like, making him sound like Sambo or something like that, like he's like real, like, you know what I mean, coonish, like, you know what I mean,
saying,
like, you vote for me, like, that whole crap there, it's just a bunch of racist, textbook racism stuff, but I'm going to go to Whitney and say what she thought of Will Sixsmith's raid, and then let Will get his final thoughts in, so we can go to Raggedy News, but what you got to say on it, Whitney?
Nah, I thought that was a real good one, like, a good mix, but with that, the Megyn Kelly stuff, I went back and watched, like, her apology on that, because I always like to watch, like, these apologies after you said something and you losing your job. And I was just like, why does this feel so familiar? And I realized, like, this isn't the first time she's been under fire for some stuff that she said. And the thing is, like, everybody got their own opinions when it comes to Halloween. I always see tons of offensive costumes, but, you know, I just go on about my business. But I'm like, for her to still be in this situation, like, we keep hearing you apologize about stuff, like, just go sit down. Just go sit down. Like, I don't even know why you on TV. Your apology don't mean nothing either. Like, just let it go. Like, I'm tired of hearing you talk.
I forgot who it was, but they said it was like a panel I think it was Cheryl Underwood that said, you know it was bad when three white people were co-signing what you were saying. Like, they were looking at her crazy.
Man, they were. They were, because she shouldn't have said it.
When Will said it, when he mentioned Roland Martin, he was educating on, and I think her name is Amy, I forgot her last name, but she's a correspondent on another, I think on MSNBC, I've seen her on there, I think she does CNN sometime, but I think she's more conservative, but she's mm-hmm. has a good point of view, but she was trying, both of them were sitting there educating her on blackface and the history behind it, and it was crazy to me that you're this old and you don't even know what that means, and then...
No, I don't buy that, I think she knows.
I don't know if she's sincere or not with her apology. If anything, it's like a lot of them are like act ignorant to the fact they don't know some of these history facts. And it might be true because a lot of people's history of American history is construed, because I said on the show before, when I was in high school, what they were trying to teach us about history, when I had history class, that's when I started paying attention to what they was giving us, because I remember specifically we had to read the chapter, my sophomore year, we had to read the chapter to ourselves, and then we had to, like, summarize it, and then we got the questions and stuff for that, or whatever, that was our homework or whatever, to read the chapter, and then we answer the questions from whatever it was that she gave us, the paper, the homework we got. And I remember in the book, it was, we were reading on Columbus and talking about the pre-Atlantic slave trade and all that stuff, we was reading that, and then Nino, El Nino and all that stuff, we was reading all that, and then it got to a portion talking about Christopher Columbus, and it said, some people say he may have discovered America, and I was like, how are you unsure of, like, if he, like, was in America, like, why are you unsure about, like, history? And then that tripped me up, and I was like, I was asking it to myself, and then I asked, my history teacher, Miss Adams, I was like, yo, why does it say that like that? And she couldn't answer it. I was like, how is this in the book? And then they were calling it something else. Like, they wasn't calling them slaves. They were calling them, like, indentured servants mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It wasn't, like specifics on it. And then we didn't get real black history facts. Like, they just, it was, like, the main ones they gave us was, like, Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, and it was another one. It wasn't Malcolm X or anything like that. It was like it was somebody else. Rosa Parks. That's what it was. That's it. Like, that's the only black history guy in certain classes. And so, if you can imagine, that's the only thing. They didn't break down what happened during those eras of civil war and stuff like that. They like pretty much whitewashed anything that happened and made it seem like it was like liberal and democratic for all this to happen, for like they did black people a favor. That's basically what I got out of those history books. But when you read the real history, you got real history facts, you're like, oh, that's not how America was founded. And it's a lot of Caucasian people that get that whitewashed information. They don't get real information. And so, and some black people don't even get, I should say all, but, I'll say, most black people don't have that information on real black history either. So that's what we got, is that. But Will, you got anything else to say before we move on to Raggedy News?
Yeah, it's interesting you say this is the thing about history, because we've all been taught a whole lot of fake history. And the amazing thing to me is that you had to go to school and you had to pass. You had to pass history, right? And it was all fake news. It was information that's been distorted, so many things left out. And it is really incredible. And then if you really want to read, that's when you go back and read the real books. That's why it's important to read, and a lot of people don't pay attention. I just want to say this. We need to get out and vote. And if you got any friend that is supposed to be your friend, your sidekick, your ride or die, whatever it is, and they don't vote, you need to dump their ass. I'm telling you. I'm serious. I know.
That's why I left.
I'm telling the listeners.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just going to say this. I'm throwing it out there. Trouble or not. Look. And if you one of my friends or so-called friends and you vote for, Republican, it's over. We're getting a divorce, baby. It ain't happening. How can you, no, really, if you think about it, what does it mean? After everything, are you saying that you're okay with immorality? You're okay with lying. You're okay with cheating. You're okay with stealing. And this is what you want to teach your kids. And these are the things, these are the kind of thugs you want to hang around with because it's all gangster moves if you think about it. And it's done at a higher level.
Oh, yeah.
It's all gangster. All right?
Yeah.
It's bullying. It's talking down. It's a doggone shame. People almost died, and I'm talking about two presidents of the United States could have been murdered. That was, and folks, people making light of it, but that was an assassination plot. Okay? And you're okay with that? And then for this guy to get on a rally last night and say, hey, it's the media's fault. Democrats are mobs. Well, hell, if we are mobs, then what are you? Good Lord. I mean, it is already sunk to a new low. So anyway, hey, I didn't mean to get off, but hey,
that's sunk to a new low when they elected him in there.
Oh, they drained the swamp, didn't they?
I'm still like people on now. I'm still like in fascination that he like was elected. I was like, because it was like y'all seriously can't like what person with a working brain was like, yes, this is my president, like. Well, yeah, that's a whole nother subject. I ain't gonna get into that because it's gonna get me revved up back to this whole lesser of two evils with Clinton and Trump, and it's gonna make me mad all over again. So we're gonna move on to thank you, Will, for that 6 minutes of rage. Move on to Raggedy News. You kind of talked on Megyn Kelly, but yeah, that apology was trash. I mean, whatever. I'm not sitting here trying to, you know, debate if it was a sincere apology or not, but I'm just amazed at the fact that still Caucasian people walking around that don't know this history. And then I think the thing that makes me mad is that you are so confident that you was right. Like, this was the right thing.
Right.
And that's a part of the white privilege is that you walk around like, oh, well, we did, like, and I heard a comedian say, how old were you, who were you as, what black person were you on Halloween when you was a kid? So we can figure out what's going on, like, and how that was normal in your childhood or whatever. But it's just that was crazy. But yeah, I want to get into Rondo, this whole thing, Rajon Rondo. I was hoping Lee would hurry up to get on. He's supposed to be on in a little bit. But Rondo versus Chris Paul. I feel like I should wait a little bit. But you got any Raggedy News, Whitney, before we get into that?
Nah, so I can wait on that one because I've been looking all at that too. So,
I got a Raggedy News story. This is Raggedy to me.
What's up?
This woman, I mean, it's a good gesture, but in theory, this is Raggedy because I wouldn't have gave none of my coworkers no money. This lady got a tip from somebody, I guess, that's popular on the internet. I'm not sure. There's somebody named Fresh or something. I don't know his name. I didn't care to look it up, but just the story is that he left her a $10,000. She's a waitress at a restaurant, and he left her a $10,000 tip. And she didn't feel like she deserved all of it because she didn't feel like she did enough to deserve that much. But it's like she took $800 of it, and then she split the rest of it with her coworkers. $10,000, yeah.
Wow.
She got in tips, and she split it and kept $800. Now, me, on the other hand, people was like, I saw people commenting on others' Instagram. They was like, yo, she's going to be blessed and all that. She's such a good. I'm like, the blessing was that. I'm like,
right.
What you
right.
talking about? Like,
that's right.
I'm you give it away. Because I would, listen, if I used to work wait staff at a restaurant. I didn't split none of my damn. We had to split, in theory, we had to split our tips in the morning. But once they clocked out, whatever money that was made after they crossed out, that's all my money. So I didn't split none of my tips. I kept every single one, I had made enough money to keep my gas tank full all week. And it wasn't a traditional waitress thing because I just basically just cleaned up. I basically was like a bus girl. I just basically cleaned off the tables. I didn't actually serve people, but I got the tips for whenever they left. and we bust the tables. When we bust the tables, we would split the money. But if they was already gone, that's all my money. I ain't split nothing with nobody, but that's my money. If you gave me $10,000 tips, I ain't split none of that, because that's my money. If that was my, because waitresses have designed tables, like, that's, that, like, they have it
yeah.
in their thing.
It's hers.
They, right. They're like, okay, you got 5, 6 tables, this number 20, 21, 22, 23, whatever, those are your tables. If that was my design, my assigned table, that's mine. That's all my money. I split. Fuck that. Would you spend $10,000 with your coworkers and tip if you was waitressing?
I wouldn't. It's a nice thought, though. It was, you know, like what she did, but I know I wouldn't. I may have split like 1,000 of it with them, but not the 10.
You know,
not with what I know I'm trying to do in life. Like, that 10,000 would be very helpful. Like, oh, yes.
Yeah,
I work for that, and I'm going to put it in my
pocket. They got it. I bet you.
Right.
That's right.
None of that. Better than me. Will, you splitting $10,000 with your, if you was a waiter?
Hell no.
You split.
Nope.
I ain't split.
No, it ain't gonna happen. Now, I take them out to lunch or something, you know, a different restaurant. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
you know.
Right. Yeah, I could live off of $10,000 a year. I could take some of that and start my own stuff.
No.
You can kind of live off. It's people that got jobs that make $10,000 a year. That's a part-time job right there.
No. Yeah. I would take them out to lunch or, you know, buy them a Christmas gift or something like that. No.
If I like them like that.
And that's always nice.
I used to work with
them.
Who you say? You said
that
you like
them. If I like them.
Well, the people that.
My whole work experience, I worked like 10 years.
Oh.
In the work, the workforce. And I only like maybe, now I'm counting in my head now. About 15,
right.
And four people, my entire workplace, because they mind their business.
And I agree with Whitney. Hey, they wouldn't split it with you. Oh, who said that? They wouldn't give.
That was me.
Yep. I don't think that the average person would not. Now, like I said, hey, if you had a friend that you work with, you're real tight with, and you know they were in a real, real pinch, and they need a little extra money, then you know, maybe slide them something on the side, right? But no, not with the whole crew. Nope. Not happening.
I just thought that story was funny.
Oh, it is funny.
I should put it in savvy news because that's kind of a savvy thing, but I don't know. I'm split on it. I don't know if it's raggedy or savvy, but I just thought of it. I just want to talk about that before we talked about this whole debacle. Now, you remember the show, I forgot what show it was, when we was talking about, I think LeBron James or something like that, and I was telling y'all, man, NBA soft now. Don't nobody be throwing kicks no more, like all that. And I kind of spoke it into existence, because not only did they take it back to the 90s, they threw actual blows. Like, it was an actual, like,
yes.
fight.
They were serious.
And I'm mad I missed it, because this is when I was out. I wasn't at home, and I got the message. It was, like, that morning. It was, like, I get these alerts on my phone, and they was talking about Lakers versus Houston brawl or something like that. It said on it, and I didn't click on it.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. I wasn't taking it serious when I saw it. I was like, that ain't nothing. What'd they do? Somebody chipped their nail or something on the basketball and they threw it too hard. I was like, what?
Nope.
I wasn't taking it seriously at first. And then I looked online and people had all these videos. It was crazy. On
it
Instagram,
was.
I was looking. People was going crazy. And I looked at the video and,
oh man,
one of the Laker players, what's his name, Ingram.
Ingram.
He was guarding Harden on the, I guess it was a fast break play, and, Harden's old dirty ass, he fouled, that's the offensive foul first off on Harden, cause he be pushing off like shit trying to get a foul caught. And he pushed off on Ingram and he was mad, and so when Harden was trying to yell at the refs for a call, Ingram pushed him in the back because he got mad, and then he got in his face, and then they broke it up, and then I saw the camera pan. They say, oh, it's a ball. He got his shit going fast. It was the commentators going crazy. I was like, what? And then they panned the camera to Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo, and Rondo went to town on him. And then when they slowed the video down, I saw to where they were trying to allege that Rondo spit on Chris Paul. And you see, I saw him wipe his face or whatever. Well, Rondo was looking like nonchalant. He didn't look like he spit on him, like he was intentionally spitting on him. I saw the mouth guard. He was like moving it around, and I think that's what it was, because it wasn't a lot of spit that came out. he was moving his mouthpiece around, and I was like, oh, he moving the mouthpiece, and then Chris Paul thought he spit on him, and so he put his finger in his face, and he was mushing his finger in his face, and then Rondo just took off on him and threw a blow at him, and then they were trying to grab him, and then Chris Paul was throwing uppercuts and stuff. I was like, oh, this is the NBA. I was like, why did I see this live? I was so mad because I was watching it at first, and
oh,
I had to leave. I had to leave or whatever. I had to leave home, and then I never, like, kept up with it because I thought it was over with. And that all this happened, I was like, man, this is something I should have been seeing live. Because I remember when the last brawl I saw was, but this was a bigger one, the Detroit versus Indiana.
Oh, boy.
When Ron Artest was like, that day, I watched that live when it happened. Because we was just sitting there, we was bored because it was like fourth quarter. It was like a minute left or something. The game was already over with. And you saw Ron Artest get mad. He sit up there on the thing, and that dude threw that cup at him. And then he got
it was
up
on.
There. Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, he went in the stands. That was a, now, that was a brawl. That went on for, like, 30 days. That was, everybody was fighting. Then you had Steven Jackson's wild ass going, he's like, I'm going to get my hits in, too.
Yep.
He came in, he swung it on everybody. He went in the audience, hit the wrong people. He's like, he didn't even know who it was.
He just went.
He was in Swinging on Detroit fans. It was hilarious.
Yep.
Oh, that was great. That was great TV right there.
Yo.
That was the best thing of NBA TV right there.
If you
when
were,
that happened.
Hey, look here. If you were in the time zone.
That was like 12 players that got suspended.
Boy, if
there
you,
was only like three got suspended in
that
the
was funny.
In LA one, but the NBA, the crazy, they were like, no, you suspended for 10 games or something like that. Like, they was like, you almost gone for a year.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, our test was gone for over a year.
I'm not calling him world peace.
Yeah.
You, Ron Artest. That's
oh, Lord. Really, really, really.
Damn, I don't even know what your world whole, that whole name is. World, what is it, Metal World Peace? I'm not calling
Metal World
Peace.
Okay.
That's what your name is.
I said the same thing when that happened.
Like,
I'm not
wrong.
Calling him that.
Like,
right. It's too late for that. You would have had to change that name a long time ago.
Right. Do y'all think Rondo spit on High Dog?
I don't know.
Slow it down, but it
I don't know.
Like spit on.
It didn't look like it to me.
I don't know. That's nasty. I mean, why would you accuse somebody of doing something that nasty? I didn't see it.
Right.
And
well, he did wipe his face. I did see spit come out of his mouth, but it looked like he was moving his mouth guard out of his mouth, and a little spit came out, and it looked like he puckered his lips like he was spitting at him, but it was his mouth guard, and there was a little bit of spit came out. I did see it because somebody had slowed it down up close, but it was his mouth guard. He's more, because if you see his face, he's like, who spits on you and like casually and be looking at, because nobody made any moves, because if he was spit on, I'm pretty sure all of them would have reacted.
And
it didn't look like he spit on him.
So he didn't make a motion like going towards Chris Paul's face?
No, he like, he was in his face talking, and then like something happened where Chris Paul and you saw him move his mouth guard. It's like at an odd angle because if you ain't never wore a mouth guard, you don't see, but I could see in his mouth movement that he was moving his mouth guard. And when he did it, I guess it had a lot of spit in it or whatever.
Yeah.
Back up, and then it kind of came out, but it was like accidental. It wasn't like, and he spit in his face. I thought he did at first, the way he puckered his lips. I was like, no, that's that mouthpiece he was moving. Because at first I doubt he did, because the way he moved his mouth, I thought he did spit on him, but he was moving his mouth guard in his mouth.
Right.
But yeah. But
wow.
They say Chris Paul, I was glad it happened anyway, because Chris Paul getting on my, I can't stand him anyway.
I don't like Chris Paul either. Yeah, I don't agree with anybody spitting on anybody, but I don't like Chris Paul.
Man. Yo, and his wife said he whenever they lose a game, she said she'd be treading lightly. She said she'll talk to him whenever they lose a fight because he take it serious. I'm like, nigga, you're a whiny ass man. Like,
That doesn't sound good. Huh.
He's temperamental whenever he loses a fight.
Oh, really?
He's always in a bad mood when he loses.
Oh, really? You know, temperamental.
Like,
I don't know.
He's emotional out there anyway. You see how he be acting?
Right.
I can't stand him, but Rondo made a statement. I think he made a statement to ESPN. He said the same thing I said because that's what it looked like. He said that's what it was. He said, you really think I would spit on him? He was like, as casually as I was acting, he said I was moving my mouth guard. piece, and I was moving my head, looking away and stuff like that, talking. He's like, you really think I would spit on him and Carmelo and them sitting right there and then look disgusted if I would have did it? And I was like, that's what I said. That's what it looked like. So, Rondo was in the right to me, but yeah, Harden, I was like, if anybody should have been throwing, I was like, you should have threw them blows at Harden. I was like, Harden deserved every piece of them uppercuts.
Right.
I can't stand Harden. I said, whenever Golden State won, I thought they was going to lose against Houston, because I was like, if Houston win and they go to the finals, I was like, this would be the first time in history I rooted for LeBron, because I was so glad they didn't go to the finals, Houston. I can't stand Harden. I finally found somebody I can't stand more than LeBron James. I can't stand Harden. I told somebody to super sock him in his face when he be playing.
That's bad.
He be cheating.
He does.
Go to the goal, he be wanting to get bailed out. He be flopping. I be wanting to punch him in his face.
Hey, Whitney.
That's why Ingle was so mad, because what made me mad, he was trying to act like he didn't do nothing.
Right.
And Ingram, he was trying to make it seem like he didn't know why Ingram pushed him. You know why he pushed you, cheating. Oh! I just want to yank that musty ass beard. I just want to yank it. He get on my nerve. I can't stand him.
You ain't gonna believe this. You ain't gonna believe this. Q-Land, Whitney. Q-Land, I agree with you 1,000,000%. I do not like James Harden. Never did like him. Nope, not at all.
Why are you appalled by this? Explain.
No, I'm saying to the fact that Will and you are 100% agreeing.
More than that.
This is the first time we agree. You remember when we were talking about the Golden State game, whenever that was questionable, whenever they were saying if it was a charge or not against Durant. You remember that?
I remember.
Y'all agree on stuff when it comes to sport.
Right.
Especially like specific calls and plays and things like that.
The only thing that we really don't agree on is Michael Jackson versus Prince. And she knows.
Donna Summers or Peebo Bryson. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
God.
Sugar Daddy out your ear or something. Because I don't know why you don't like Donna Summers.
I do not.
Peebo Bryson.
I do not.
You lost your mind.
And just like that, the moment is over. I was just appreciating the moment, because it doesn't happen all the time. I'm sorry.
I'm filing for divorce. I'm filing for divorce immediately.
We have these savage. That should have been savage news. That's savage news. I'm mistaken. Rondo and that versus Chris Paul. That's not raggedy news. That's savage news.
That's raggedy as hell. Oh my God.
No, what's raggedy is some of these people talking about this isn't how the league's supposed to. What you talking about, man?
Oh my goodness.
Whoever them analysts start talking about y'all better than this, man, shut up. I don't want to hear all that. Trying to be diplomatic with basketball. That's why it is what it is. Y'all talk too much. That's the real problem with sports though, is commentators. They got too many people commenting. Like, they need to shut down ESPN. Did you see they got rid of all the good analysts? You know, they were on, like, Jemele Hill and Michael Smith. They had a show. They got rid of it. And the only one they got is, Stephen A. Smith or whatever. And I don't really watch them like that anyway or whatever. But it's too many comments.
Women, hold it. Is Stephen A., he's still with them.
Comment on basketball. I feel like they need to have more of the people that actually played when I watch NBA TV, they got the Grant Hills, Isaiah Thomas's and stuff like that. Them kind of sports analysts, that's all they need to have. Anybody else that played in junior varsity and high school that came off the bench in junior varsity, you don't need to have no opinion at all when it comes back. Nobody want to hear that you played 10 minutes in junior varsity, that you came off the bench. Nobody care about your opinion. Get out of here. Because most of the time they're trying to come from a perspective. If you don't play basketball, then you don't understand the perspective of emotions and stuff like that when people be playing. So of course you're not gonna come from it's mostly emotional responses. So unless you're like a basketball player, you're not gonna understand why somebody, and most of them people have been in fights, like Isaiah Thomas has been in fights.
And you know what Q-Lynn, the thing about it is
all them, they've been in fights They actually fought each other. Well, they missed. They hitting and missing.
Who was that?
Charles Barkley and Shaq. They fought.
Oh, that was no fight. Oh man, you took a new...
That's what I was saying. It was a hit and miss. I don't know if that's why.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
sure.
why I relabeled it because it wasn't really a fight. Because Charles Barkley swung and missed. I mean, Shaq swung and missed, and he flipped Shaq over. That was weird. It was like he grabbed him instead of hit.
Dude,
what's going on?
Yeah,
that was weird. That was a weird fight. And then I think Charles Oakley and Charles Barkley actually fought too. That was a long time ago. But he was with the New York Knicks, and I think Charles was on Houston. Oh yeah, I remember that, cause that's when Charles Oakley, I remember that now, he tried to swing on Charles Barkley and hit Hakeem Olajuwon in the face. That was funny.
Oh boy.
Charles Oakley was crazy.
He was
fighting Charles
He's still
Barkley,
crazy.
And he started swinging and he hit Hakeem threw his hands up like he was praising God.
No, he's still, as a matter of fact, Q-Lan. He's still crazy. Matter of fact, I think he challenged Charles Barkley to a fight just last year. I think he did.
Oh, he might have had.
I think he did just last year.
He into it in that big three.
With Charles Barkley.
He's coaching.
Yeah.
Charles Oakley's be coaching in Big Three and he's getting a fight with Steven Jackson or something because he didn't want to come out. He's like, I shut myself in. He's like, you have to go through
me. Oh my God.
He's like, try. I was like, oh man, how you fight your old players? I'm like, what's going on?
Well.
I got this wild, this hot head coaching the basketball team.
Oh, crazy. Crazy.
But, savvy news, get more savvy news. I'm going to announce this before I forget, but the 2018 Soul Train Awards is coming on at the end of November. I think they're getting ready to tape real soon. I haven't got the update. Usually somebody send me a press release to tell me when they are doing it, because they tape it. They pre-tape it. They don't tape it live, the Soul Train Awards. So they're getting ready. I'm pretty sure they're getting ready to tape real soon. And the host... Usually, I think for the past 3 years, they had Erykah Badu doing it. She's amazing. She's dope the whole time. But now they got actresses, Tisha Campbell and Tashina Arnold hosting the Soul Train Awards this year. And they usually pre-tape it for Centric. What's the name of that show? Oh, it ain't even Centric no more. It's BET Her or something. They renamed that channel, but BET Her, they usually showed on there in BET. I think TV One too, I'm not sure, but they're supposed to be pre-taping it for that. So yeah, I think it'll be good. I think they picked the perfect host because they're pretty funny. I think it's gonna be because I'm pretty sure they're gonna have skits and stuff like that. They're gonna add in there and pre-tape throughout the show, and they're hosting it live. So I mean, hosting it the award show. So I'm pretty sure it's gonna be funny. I'm recording, and then the Soul Lady Award they give. The honoree, like, you know, the Lady of Soul Award, they're giving it to Faith Evans, the legendary
nice.
Faith Evans. So I'm looking forward to that. Cause I know they're going to have the best of the best singers in that tribute. Or she might do her own tribute. I don't know. I don't know how that might go. She might. I think they just did one. I think it was on Bounce or something. I don't have that network channel. It's like another, like, TV One kind of network. They show, like, original, like, sitcoms and stuff like that. Like, you know, 90s actors. Like, the one that was
right.
on, what's the one with Taj Mahal on it? Smart Guy? Yeah, that one.
The dude
that played the friend, Omar Gooden character. He has his own show with another, you know, just, you know, like, actors you've seen, like, do, like, black movies and stuff like that. They got, like, stuff like that on there. But anyway, not to ramble, but they got the Trumpet Awards on there, and they did a tribute for Faith Evans on there. And so, yeah, what you looking forward to? You watch Soul Train Awards, Whitney?
Yeah, that's
I want to see a fight.
Like, I'll be watching it. What?
The fight. I want to see a Rondo and Chris Paul type of fight. Let's get it.
I was wondering who that on. Is that you making all that noise? It sounded like a washing machine was going on. I was about to ask what was going on. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Mr. Lee Trouble on, the extraordinary music producer. We got Mr. Lee Trouble on. It was about time you came on. I stopped looking for you. I was like, oh, I guess he ain't coming out.
Man, blame the man and blame Tony Braxton's checking account.
there you go, Tony. Stop. Like, E.B. E.B. was throwing him Tony Braxton. So I was like, I told him, we got poor people that come on. I was like, you had to backtrack.
Oh,
he be throwing shots all the time. But, yeah, I had to backtrack because we had Raheem Devon on or when they had him on when I was gone. And I was like, I just talked about him last week and say that he makes the same album. And he had him on the next week. I was like, man, he be on.
Oh,
I'm getting ready to post that. But, yeah, that was pretty awkward. I was like, well, I'm not going to be on the next time he on.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Whitney. Sorry, I had to make my grand Kool-Aid main entrance into the situation since I'm late.
It's the Kool-Aid entrance. That's what it was, because I was like, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, wait, what's going on? But what did you think about Rondo versus Chris Paul before we get on to the Soul Train Awards? What did you think about that? Did you think that Rondo spit on Chris Paul with the alleged? You think from your eyes, did it look like he spit on him intentionally?
I'm going to say no, only because he had a mouthpiece in his mouth. So if he were to spit on him, it would have been, like, inadvertent. I know there were a bunch of, like, secret camera angles and stuff. But you can't – it's really hard to spit with a mouthpiece in your mouth. So it might have been somebody else. I think it was somebody else's. Just niggas being heated and stuff. So I
– that's what I thought. It was about he had the mouthpiece in. I saw him move it underneath when he was talking, and I saw spit come, but from the angle, it looks like he spit on him, but I was like, no, he's moving the mouthpiece, so you said the same thing I said, and then Rondo actually confirmed it, because he said, you really think I would have spit on him with Carmelo and them there, and they didn't have any expression? He's like, I was moving my mouthpiece in my mouth, and that's basically what he told ESPN that he made a statement to them. He said, this is the only time I'm addressing. And I was like, that's what it is. And I said weeks ago on this show, I was like, I don't watch NBA like that no more until, like, the playoffs, because they don't fight like they used to back in the day. And I'd be damned if they didn't do a whole, like, they do fist fight. Like, it was a real fist fight. It wasn't no, oh, you chipped my nail with the basketball and I'm mad, like, something like that. It was, like, real, like, Rondo threw a blow in there. That was a real hit. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, they've had history for a long time. They don't like each other.
And
it's very well documented. Yeah,
he was talking about him in that, and he's like, man, he was like, Chris Paul ain't the Chris Paul y'all think he is. He is not nice. He's a horrible teammate. He did a whole spill on there. It's an article, ESPN article out there for people listening that want to look it up. But, yeah, he was like, he ain't the good guy you think he is basically what he was saying. But I can believe that because I don't like him. I do not like Houston. That's the team.
He hits people in the nuts.
Super team I can't stand.
He hits people in the nuts. That's what he's known for.
Oh, man.
He's like a smaller Draymond.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He's like a miniature-sized Draymond, because Draymond used to kick. He's do it on purpose, too, and they finally started finding him. He's like, all right, I ain't going to do that no more. Wow.
But let's just do that. Nah, bro.
Right. But, yeah, I'm glad it happened. But I was like, the one that should have been two-piece was James Harden to me, because I can't stand him. I finally found somebody in NBA that I can't stand more than LeBron James. And I was just telling them, I was like, I was so glad Houston didn't make it to the finals, because I thought they was going to beat Golden State if Chris Paul didn't get injured. And I was like, man, I don't want to root for Cleveland, but this is going to be my first time in history rooting for LeBron. I can't stand James Harden. I cannot stand him at all. Like,
I wish somebody would
yank on that musty beard. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I wish somebody would just yank the shit out of his beard.
I hate his game and I love his game at the same time, but he was the
ASU. I wish I could root for him, but to me, I feel like the way he navigates the ball is so horrible. His ability to see the floor is non-existent to me, because I feel like if you're going to try to play the point, like you try to act like you playing the point position, your level of trying to find the right people should be on point. Like, he doesn't look for anybody, and all he does is drop the ball and then dish it out. Like, to me, that's not real, like, point skills to me. Like, I feel like he just goes in the lane, so out of control, and then he'll try to force himself to try to get a foul called on him. And if he don't get a foul, he'll give up a whole play if he don't feel like he got fouled on. Like, if they didn't call a foul, he'll give up on the play. Like, to me, that's sorry basketball to me. So I'm like, you a shooting guard. Like, Like, you should be able to see the floor and then dish it out if you can't drive the lane. Don't be going in there forcefully and then flopping. That's my big issue, that he flops all the time. But, yeah.
Next episode of Basketball Savviness, we have Q with the basketball analysis.
Yes, the analysis of James Musty Beard Harden. That's what, listen, I got to throw, my thing is, I try to give validation to why I don't like somebody. I cannot stand James Harden. Like, I didn't think it would come a day to where I find somebody I couldn't stand more than LeBron James. And I forgot to talk about the shop last week. We kind of transitioned into savvy news. But what did you think about that whole, the shop conversation with Drake? We didn't talk about that. What did you, and then also we got to give it up to you for being on, I watched that clip of you on TMZ on their website, and you gave a whole spill on that situation. We got to give that up with, him trying to, I don't know if we, Harvey giving you some of them coins over there or not, but I feel like I should be in your pocket or something. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm in good company. But what's going on with, what was that experience like doing that? TMZ talking about Drake and that whole, the shop, HBO, series LeBron got.
Well, it was really random. Like, I thought it was fake when they reached out. I think I was talking about the Drake and LeBron thing and the Drake and, you know, Pusha T thing. And I was just tweeting or whatever, and then I get a DM, and it's TMZ Live. I'm like, no way. Why are these? I didn't say anything, I think, out of ordinary, but they're like, hey, you want to come on for like a quick, you know, 10-second spiel on, you know, these topics or whatever. So they have 4 or 5 topics and stuff, and then you do a test with them, and then they get you on TV and stuff. They test you there, and then they tell you to go, and then you pretty much do your spiel. So it was a really cool experience. I should be back on there in a couple of weeks. I guess it's going to be a monthly thing. Nice. Yeah, so it's cool. I'm on TV, so I can't complain. As far as the Drake and the shop and all that, I'm going to reiterate what I said on TMZ. It's all about the narrative with Drake. It's all about the narrative. He could put out anything he wants to. And for the most part, because of the position that he's in and he's been on top for so long, the only thing that he doesn't control for the most part when he gets into shit is narrative. So I thought it was a good opportunity. I thought the timing was curious because if you remember, like, LeBron, you know, a Laker now, and the season opener was like the next day in L.A., and, you know, Drake brought out LeBron for the concert in L.A. with Travis Scott doing Sicko Mode. Like, the timing was great because Drake had, 3 months to respond to this. Pusha T dropped that diss in June. So, like, Drake's had time to respond. He's had time to, you know, mull over it and stuff. But I thought it was very strategic to help him get control of the narrative. Rather than trying to, you know, respond to it, you know, directly, why not use LeBron's platform? With LeBron, who, you know, I know you hate him, you know, Q, like Tyrese hates me.
No, LeBron, I personally, off the court, you know, it's so weird now because now he's transitioning. He's, like, setting himself up now to, like, retire. So, like, now his latter years, I'm not worried about it no more because he ain't competition no more. He on the West Coast. And my whole thing was I felt like he dominated the East Coast because there was no competition over there. And I'm like, people feel like I don't feel like he has the energy to get a championship right now. I don't even think they're going to be a winnable. I mean, if you look at, like, how the West is progressing, like, he's going to have to compete every night. And you see how tired he is. I saw how tired he was with the first game because that was a winnable game. They should have won after he made their shot, but they didn't win. And I was like, oh, well, he's just setting up. I'm like, now that I know he ain't competition no more, you know, on the East Coast no more, I'm like, I'm fine with, like, the people were making a big deal about him being traded to the Lakers and his loyalty. I was like, I don't care about none of that. I was like, I actually like watching him now. I was like, it ain't no big, I don't have the, you know, it's called evolution and growth because I've grown. Now I transfer that energy to other players that I despise and loathe, like James Harden, like those kind of players. I feel like all that energy is directed, like, specifically with him because they're in the running to be, you know, going through everybody's competition with Golden State. That's how I define the NBA now. Like, who can be Golden State? That's all it is. But I like LeBron now. I like the show. Yeah. I watched the shop, you know, the first 2 episodes, you know, I like him. I didn't like what he was saying with Drake, though, about that he was, it was kind of weird. Like, he was like, what did I say to you? I was like, wait, dude. I was like, You is like his daddy, like.
Here's the thing about Drake is a wave rider. He rides everybody's wave. Regardless of how popular he is, he's always, I mean, people could accuse him of being a vulture to some degree, but like he always rides somebody else's wave. And it's not so much a bad thing sometimes. Like if you look at Drake and the moves he makes, it's always strategic. Him jumping on with the Migos, like nobody knew who the Migos was outside of like hardcore hip hop fans. Drake jumps on Versace, all of a sudden Migos is the biggest hip-hop group in the industry right now. Like, Drake is very strategic about who he aligns himself with, and it helps him control the narrative. That's how, I mean, I know LeBron and Drake, they subscribe to the World Wide West. Do you guys know who World Wide West is?
No, especially if it's a rapper, I don't know. World Wide West,
he's kind of like a silent commissioner of some sorts. Like, he has a lot of connections, and Drake and LeBron and a bunch of other people subscribe to his theory of control the narrative. So World Wide West is the, like, Jay-Z is, you know, he's associated with World Wide West. He's kind of a behind-the-scenes kind of gangster type of person. So they subscribe to that narrative where you're just getting ahead of the narrative. Get ahead of it. Control it. Regardless of what you say, just make sure the narrative stops. Starts with you and it ends with you, and that's what he did by going on the shot.
I just thought it was weird. I mean, I get him being mad. I saw the back and forth. I actually didn't really care too much because Pusha T responded on Joe Budden's podcast. I watched a little bit of it, and he was.
I heard that. Yeah.
I just don't know how to feel about it. I'm just looking at it. Whenever I hear about rappers like beefing or whatever, and they put it on wax, and then now it's like gossip information that was exchanged and all that stuff. I guess that's sort of the history of battle rap and trying to get information like that. But just from I'm trying to look at it from a hip hop lens. Do you think, and just like how we regard like different hip hop beefs that happen, do you think like it's still like that still matters in this climate, like with hip hop in terms? Because I feel like it's split. It's like people that want to keep it true with hip hop and say, oh, Pusha T won, which I feel that way. If we just look at it from the rap standpoint, like Pusha T won, but they're saying, oh, he didn't respond because he got his feelings because he mentioned certain people of his about their terminal illness, or not even a terminal illness, but just the illness period. Like, do you think that matters in it? Do you take in all that, like, just in the hip-hop, like, okay, this era of beef, which Drake versus Pusha, do you think, like, people care that Drake lost, like, traditionally in a hip-hop thing, or
well,
do you think
it
matters?
I don't think it matters. I honestly, here's the thing, it matters if it affects their bottom line. And though Pusha T has some juicy gossip information about Drake, it didn't affect his bottom line at all. Drake is still the top rapper in the game.
But what about
my feelings?
What about Nas versus Jay-Z? Because they both were like at the top of that. But I don't feel like Jay-Z or Nas affected each other's bottom line, because they were both popular at the time. I don't think both of them in that beef, benefited or lost in that. I'm just saying just a healthy competition of just the beef in terms of who's better. Like, do you feel like,
well, I think the difference is, and the Jay-Z and Nas situation, Jay-Z did see Nas as competition. Like, Jay-Z had seen a lot of shots at Nas, through other songs, subliminal shots and everything. I don't think Drake sees Pusha as competition at all. He didn't even mention him by name in the shot. Like, Pusha T just doesn't like Drake, and that's okay. But I don't think Pusha T is competitive. He's from that era where, sometimes bars are no bars. Like, he's trying to kill and murder niggas. But Drake is not of that era. Drake is of the social media era where it's all about the narrative. It's all about how you look on the gram. It's all about that kind of thing. So I think it's different situations.
That's a valid point.
But I do hear your point though. But I don't think Drake sees Pusha T as competition at all. If anybody's competition to Drake, it's probably Kendrick. And he won't go after Kendrick.
Oh, right.
So you said
that's
you
a
think
whole
that
level
this is
thing.
A, you said you think that, or you mentioned that Drake does things like he makes strategic moves. So what do you think the move was? Like, other than just controlling the narrative, is that it? Just getting, like, control of how the story comes across?
Like, well, I think there's a lot of things. I think what the one strategic move he did was going back and changing his song list for his album. I think he had most of his stuff mapped out before the whole, you know, thing about his son came out. But he went back in the lab and, like, he actually, you know, rather than trying to, you know, murder Pusha T, which he could have. I mean, we never know. I mean, once Jay Prince gets involved, you're kind of, you gotta have to listen to what that dude says. But I think by going back, putting out songs and stuff, and also if you look at his, like, live show, Drake is putting a lot of money into his production now, like his live production and stuff. I think those were the strategic moves that I was, you know, I'm referring to. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Drake is on the social media era. As long as people are talking about him, and as long as, and I think him aligning with LeBron at a time where LeBron was pretty much rolling out his production company, Space Jam 2, being on the Lakers, moving to LA. I mean, I think opening up the school, like aligning yourself with LeBron was a strategic move. But I think, like I said, Drake makes more than one move when it comes to how he moves.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I'm trying to look at it from all angles, but I was just looking at it from just people's comments on it. Like, people were like, oh, he watched Drake, but then it was like some people, fans of Drake, was like, nah, man, he went dirty. I was like, really? I was like, just because his feelings were hurt? I've heard rap records, like, back in the day that was way worse than this. Like, come on. Like, that was...
Right.
I was just, like, appalled by, like, the fans of Drake. Like, okay, it's cool for you to be a fan of him, but come on, this is, like, rap beef. Like, they...
Oh, Drake fans are worse than Kobe fans.
And then it was people, right, exactly. It's like people misinterpret, like when he said about, I got what he was saying, that you crossed the line. I think he was talking more in terms of like what you were saying with the brand of like, of his brand, like pop culture, like in terms of, I don't think he was talking about hip hop. I don't think he was going that, saying that, oh, you don't do this in hip hop. I don't think he was saying that. Or did you interpret that way? I thought he was talking about like branding, like what you were saying about the branding, affecting the branding and stuff like that. That's what I thought he was talking about.
I think Pusha was just going for blood. I think...
Drake's response of, he was like, you don't do that, like, this, that's not the rules. Like, they were saying that Drake was trying to make the rules, like, he was, like, he's hip-hop or whatever, because he got, and there was a lot of people saying that he can't make the rules because he's had people ghostwrite for him. But they were saying in terms of hip hop rules, he said they were trying to say that Drake was trying to make hip hop rules. And I was like, I didn't look at it like, I thought he was talking about like pop culture, like rules in that. Like it's rules with that. But you get what I'm saying? Like it's rules with pop culture, not like hip hop. Like, cause I feel like if he was saying hip hop, he would have said that. You know what I mean? And I don't think he was meaning that. Did you take it like that when he said that on the shop? About rules?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and I think you're right when you said, you know, I think it's more culture and brand as opposed to just rules and hip hop beef, because in hip hop beef there aren't any rules. I mean, we can go back through history and look at actual legitimate hip hop beefs. We can look at Tupac versus Biggie, where Tupac made a whole ass video about fucking somebody else's wife, like. Like when it comes to hip hop beef rules, beef in hip hop functions as a gray area where everything is a gray area, and whoever controls, I guess, the narrative wins for the most part. Because I'll refer back to Jay-Z and Nas. Jay-Z made the better diss song. Takeover is way better than Ether, way better, because he did what Nas did in 5 minutes of rambling. Jay-Z did in 16 bars. But at the time it came out, Jay-Z was still in Biggie's shadow. A lot of people weren't really hot on Jay-Z like they are now, where it's unanimous.
Right.
A lot of people are like, wow, he's biting Biggie. Biggie was better than him. If Biggie was still alive, Jay-Z wouldn't be on top. So Jay-Z was fighting that. And then when Nas came back with Ether, though it wasn't a superior diss, the narrative was, oh, snap, not only is Jay-Z and Biggie shadow, but now Nas has got him shook. Like, you know, so I don't know. It's,
yeah,
like
I know,
Jay-Z. I'm a narrative guy.
Right.
I'm a narrative guy.
Just that debate, I feel like Jay-Z won off top anyway, just from, like, I felt like Nas was just throwing, like personal jabs. I mean, I guess that's what it is with battle rap, but I felt like Jay-Z was more clever with his punchline and stuff like that.
You Tybo like, ho. What? You Tybo ho. You 36
that's
in a karate class. Nigga, please.
Nas Ether. That, I mean, it was alright. It was okay. I actually like Ether
cool.
better than, I like Remy Ma's version of his rap beat than his, if we'll be honest.
Oh, Remy Ma like had receipts.
Right, exactly. But yeah, just yeah. We gonna take a break real quick before that. We gonna wrap up Savvy News. I was gonna mention that, Solange is releasing new music, real soon. And she just made she did an interview with, I forgot in an article, she basically said that most of the music is going to be jazz at the core, but it's mostly going to be like electronic sound, R&B sound. And I can't wait to hear what that sounds like. I want to know like who's a part of like all of the different sounds that she's trying to create. Cause she produced her last album, the vocals and stuff like that, and produced some of the stuff on there. And they said, I heard that she did she has over I forgot, a long length, 30, 40 minutes worth of music. And she actually had to trim down most of that music because it was so long. I was like, man, I want her to release that because that whole album, A Seat at the Table, was incredible. What you think about Solange? Do you think it's anticipation for the next album? Do you think she's going to get the same love that she got from A Seat at the Table? Whoever want to answer, it don't matter.
I think she will. I'm looking forward to it because her last one I thought was dope. Like, I still listen to it. So, like, I'm excited to see what she comes up with.
Oh, man, I can't wait for it. Lee, what did you think?
You know what? Solange has a very unique career, and those elements would work for her sound. I think one of the more strategic things she did in her last project was recruits Raphael Sadiq. Like,
yeah.
Having Sadiq on your project gives you so much musicality. I call Raphael Sadiq the master producer because,
yes.
And I think I've probably said this on your show before, where, you know, you could put him in any era and he'll excel. And,
yeah.
I think we should expect something experimental. I wouldn't expect anything kind of linear, but at the same time, combining those jazz electronic elements like Anderson .Paak is doing and a bunch of other people, that's in right
yep.
now. So she could pull that off and have the right producers in her ear. It's going to be a great project.
Man, it's crazy. Oh, my God, I can't wait for it. And then also in Savvy News, the 30th anniversary of Vanita Baker's Giving You the Best That I Got was the anniversary of that album was last week. We forgot to talk about it. I think I played one song from the album Just Because, and then the end of the show we're gonna play Good Love, but that's my album right there. It's hard to pick my favorite Anita Baker album. It's a tie. Like, you got that album, the best, Giving You the Best I Got, and then you got Rapture and Songstress. I'm like tied with the Songstress in this album because I used to have this one on cassette tape because there's only 8 songs, and so it was like 4 on one side A and then side B. I'm being old, but I'm just saying I had this album on cassette tape. The Giving You the Best I Got. But what's your favorite? Do you remember that album, or do you have any favorite songs off of this album, Lee?
You know what, EB Eric, he's more of an '80s dude than I am. He probably could speak more to this than I can because I grew up in a Christian household, so I actually didn't grow up on Anita Baker. I know a few of her songs. I would say it's about Anita Baker. She's had the auntie haircut for like 35 years, bro.
No, she got the wigs
like
now. She got the
haircut.
Exchangeable wigs. But now
right.
It's the wigs, though. It's
wigs
now.
Yeah. I love
oh,
it.
Man.
It's great.
It's hilarious.
That's my only
what about EB?
I'll say
I missed half of what you said, but you said you don't listen a lot of Alina Baker. Because I miss some.
No, I really don't. I kind of look to EB for like the early, like the 80s, early 90s type of stuff. Because his information is really good, and I learned stuff from it. So, but that whole era, that late 80s, early 90s, I don't have too much recollection from an R&B standpoint of, you know, artists like Luther and Anita Baker, because I'm a PK, so yeah, I don't.
You need to listen, man. You're a piano player too. Listen, it'll change your ear, man. I'm listening, man. The composition. Oh my God, the chord progressions and Just Because. Oh my God, it's the most phenomenal. She had the best piano players on her album. She had George Duke. I keep going. Yeah. George Duke is one of my top five, one of the greatest, you know, rest on him. I had the privilege of sitting under him and being able to back under him when I was in New York, and it was such an incredible experience. But those cats that did the 80s that could transition out of jazz music and R&B is the way they, Anita Baker was just like a student of music to me, like with jazz, like all those elements to where R&B singer, she could do jazz and then she could make it gospel, and she got with the right producers, the right songwriters to create like great music that you get any feeling you want, like a jazz feeling, a gospel feeling, R&B, even though it's at the core it's R&B, but just her ears as a music lover, I could hear that through the music, and she just had so many great versatile musicians that could transition in and out of those feelings of like, it could be any kind of vibe you want it to be. Like, you could play that record anywhere. I mean, any of her records anywhere to me. But that's just my opinion, but yeah. Oh my God, this album is incredible. But yeah, Birthday, I was just gonna cap it off before we go to break. And I had an interesting topic, Lee. I was gonna talk about cheating. And I know we even go in that my opinion is going to be, everybody's going to be right in on this show, because where y'all think I'm going to go, it ain't going to be that way. And I just want y'all to be open to what I'm saying, because I already know Will's going to think I'm joking, but I'm being dead serious. Uh-huh. And I just want to have a real conversation. But I just want to give birthday appreciation to Snoop Dogg. His birthday just passed, and then also, even Drake, I give him a little love. His birthday passed as well, and then Sierra, a lot of, and some more. Ziggy Marley, he had a birthday last week. I just want to give a little birthday appreciation. But when we come back from break, we're on the topic talking about cheating, and give us sort of a title, cheating, is it really just one person, or is two people to blame for somebody cheating? That's my topic, that's my question, and we're going to get into it when we come back from break. So we'll be ready, we'll go to break. We'll be back.
Alright, we're back, the Soul 70 Show, Q Lynn Whitney, and special guest. Hey, welcome back. Q Lynn, back to you.
Wow, that was a quick break, Will.
Well, that depends on what you were doing.
Huh?
Depends on what you were doing.
Never mind. It's fine. We'll go ahead, get to this topic. I was actually going to do a music topic, but I was like, no, because I was watching, the reason why I picked this topic, because I was watching Jada show, Red Table Talk. They came back from break, and the second season premiere was on Monday. And they post, it's our Facebook show, and so you watch it on there. And the first guest they had back was her husband, Will Smith. You know, y'all should know who that is or whatever. I ain't got time to, you know, break down that whole dynamic of their family, but they had him on as the first guest, and they were pretty, to me, I was just listening to their point of view, and I just like their relationship dynamic, because people feel weird about their relationship, because I'm like, y'all feel weird because they being honest about what they do. To me, they seem regular, like, the what they were talking about. I didn't know certain details of how they started, but basically, he was basically saying how it's part one and part two, and basically, the first one they were introducing how they met each other, and he's saying that Alfonso Ribeiro was going to introduce him to Jada, and he went to the set of A Different World to meet her, but he ended up meeting his first wife, Cherie Whitfield, I think that's what her last name is, but he met her instead, and he realized, you know, in casual meetings with Jada, just talking to her at certain points when he was still married, that he had a realization when he was with Cherie at a dinner or something that he was married to the wrong person, and he broke it down. It's a pretty good show. I thought it was cool how they were talking and communicating, but I saw a lot in the comments. They were like, he had mentioned that they had ups and downs, ups and downs in the relationship. And one of the downs that he felt, that he said Jada used to cry like 45 days straight one time in their marriage. And a lot of people was interpreting that, oh, he cheated on Jada. But I didn't interpret that like that. I just interpreted that he made her feel a certain way, and she was having feelings about, you know, being at home and putting her career on the back burner for Will. And that was the thing in their marriage, was he was the star. He, at certain points, that he was like the main star, and she was home, you know, taking care of kids and stuff like that. And a lot of people was interpreted that he cheated on them. I was like, how do y'all go from that to that? And then I just thought about people's idea of cheating and stuff like that. And why ask the question, do y'all think cheating, do y'all like really feel like when somebody cheats, man or woman, do y'all think I think it's both of the people involved's fault. If somebody, whoever cheated, I feel like it's a build up to that. But what y'all feel about cheating just in general? Cause I know the typical, like the answer, the common sense answer is like, yes, cheating is bad, but is it really? That's just my question.
Yeah, boy, that
is very
good.
I know it's
going
to sound crazy, but that's just my opinion. I can get deeper into it, but I just want to know just in general, what do y'all feel about cheating?
Wow. We can't have dead silence, so I'll jump in. Cheating is cheating.
Right.
Cheating is cheating. And no, I don't agree that it's both people's fault. You can't do that, because there's so many, and men and women, they expect to go into a relationship with honesty, and some do. But because you may not hook up with the right person, or that person that you are with may not be ready for a committed relationship. They're just out there, you know. No, you can't blame it on both sides. You know, you can't do that, because you have some men and you have some women that are totally committed to the relationship. But because of one party may feel like they need to have their ego stroked, or need to have more. And that was a time when a lot of guys would say, you know, they would collect women like they were notches on their gun. And, you know, it's still,
I don't agree with nothing you said. But
so what? No, you don't have to.
I said, I agree. I was like, I don't, that, to me, that's no. Like one side of it. That's not like the whole, that's not totality. What
but
I'm
you
saying.
Can't put a blanket on it and say it's both sides when you have one party that is home.
That's
and
not what I'm saying, though. That's why I'm saying I don't agree with nothing you're saying, because you're not talking to what I'm talking about. That's
I am.
What
was the question, Q?
No, you're not. You're not talking about
the
nothing.
The question
at all
was, you think that was, it's both people's fault?
Yeah, it is.
No.
Before we go ahead,
Whitney, jump in here, because Q-Lin, you were 100% wrong. Just because you believe.
You don't know where I'm going with it. That's why I was saying.
Well, then explain.
I mean, what is it that you are saying then? Because really? That's why I was so quiet on it. Because I don't know if I get where you coming from.
Okay, like I answered it when you asked it.
I'm saying that
when I say it's both people's fault that somebody cheats, I'm saying, what was the need to cheat for? And most of the time, somebody's cheating because there's something lacking there. And most of the time, majority of reasons for cheating is a lack of communication, either on that person's fault for wanting to cheat or the person that's getting cheated on. It's the common case for every, I've heard like almost every story from a married person or just a girlfriend and boyfriend situation. Most of the time I want to stay on married people because I don't talk about boyfriend and girlfriend thing, but if you marry and somebody cheats, I'm saying that's more chances of somebody, what is it lacking in there to make you want to cheat? That's what I'm saying. And most of the time it's a lack of communication. And you can give a various reasons why somebody cheats. It could be somebody that doesn't want to let that person go. The person that they married doesn't have certain qualities to where they feel like they're matched theirs. And so whatever is missing in that, usually a sexual thing that somebody's not doing, it could be a sexual reason or just they don't like that person. And most of the time they don't like the person they're with, but they'll stay with them because of X, Y reasons, because they have kids and all that stuff. But I'm like, that they're not being sexually satisfied. It could be a number of reasons, or emotional support, emotional cheating and all that stuff as well. But what I'm saying is that at some point there's no communication happening, the reason why the person cheated or the person didn't cheat. And what I'm saying that reason why it's both of y'all fault, I feel like it's both of y'all fault, because if you, especially if somebody that likes cheating that cheats like multiple times, that's their thing that they've done, people have characteristics that show you that they do that. And I'm saying that a lot of people ignore it, thinking that there might be some cases to where they know about it and they think it's going to stop whenever they get married and that person still continues on. And then it could be like a T.I. and Tiny situation to where he's been doing it for so long and she never had an issue with it until, because they just talked about it on that show they had, and he was like, she didn't have a problem with it until it got on social media. And I'm saying he feels in his head it was accepted because she's been accepting it for so many years, and he said out of his mouth that, well, he's like, we could have had one conversation and it would have been over with.
Bologna. That's bull.
And so I'm saying it's
absolute bull.
She accepted that behavior it's so many different reasons, but it's not a clear cut reason why somebody's cheating. I'm saying there's various reasons why somebody's cheating. But just to give examples, that one right there, she married him knowing he does that.
Okay.
And she accepted it, and she didn't create a standard to where, hey, I'm not going to accept this. And then she gets to a point to where she's like, I'm not going to accept it, because now she's getting publicly shamed for it, for allowing him to do it. And now that may be a reason, or she might just personally feel like she's tired of him doing this X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, she accepted it. And I'm saying that as people like, I can say it is her fault that he does that, because you allowed him to do that. That's what I'm saying.
Baloney.
He's a serial cheater though. He's done this like continuously. That's what I'm saying. And it's people like, I'm saying that both of y'all are fault, because she didn't create the standard to where, hey, I'm not going to allow this in a relationship. And to me, I feel like they got an open relationship going on, because it's a whole bunch of stuff people don't know about. I feel like they had a situation to where they both were sharing people in their relationship. That's just a whole other topic. But I'm just saying, just in that case, like something like that, I feel like it's both of their fault, because she created that atmosphere for him to do that. And of course he's gonna keep doing it, and he don't feel like it's wrong. He don't feel like what he's doing is wrong, because she accepted the behavior. Lee, I wanna hear your opinion since you married. What do you think about that concept that I just talked about? Do you feel like it's both people's fault for cheating, or what is,
Man,
I know I hit all the whole point,
you threw a curveball at me with this interview. Okay. I'm gonna try to explain. All right, so just some disclaimers. I've been married 12 years, so I can speak to this somewhat. I'll just say this. Different relationships have different relationship dynamics. There's all kinds of dynamics. There's various kinds of dynamics that makes up what the idea of marriage is. I believe, like, in those cases with celebrities, I think that's a poor barometer to pull from in terms of what is acceptable and what's not. Because being in that limelight where every one of your moves is being reported on a blog or a website, it goes back to narrative. You just lose control of the narrative when you have that kind of cachet and that kind of, you know, your relationship's that public. So I think just we have to take that into account, that different relationships have different dynamics. I think, so as far as cheating, just to specifically answer your question, it comes down to two things. It comes down to selfishness, and it comes down to communication. And I think cheating at its core is a selfish act. And I believe just when that is your only option in terms of getting pleasure outside of your relationship, that creates that's because of a lack of communication. You're not properly unpacking the issues that you're having or dealing with the demons that you have with your partner. Your partner is no longer a conduit to help solve those issues. So you're going to outside sources to find an answer or to run away from a problem or not, you know. So I think it's always a temporary fix to a problem that is a lot deeper than what it seems. So at its core, it's selfish. At its core, it's just as a result of a lack of communication. And when you combine those two things, that's what creates toxic relationships and toxic marriages. And that's what ruins your dynamic. Most of all, it ruins your dynamic in terms of building a bond with your partner, because now you're going outside your partner where you give those vows to that person to help you get through those tough times in life and help you with those needs and stuff. You're going outside of those vows, that circle of trust that you built for your own satisfaction. So I know, you know, we don't have 45, 50 minutes to really talk about this, but to kind of summarize my feelings on it, that's what I'll say.
Right, you were absolutely right on that. I wasn't trying to pull Tiana. That was the only example. I was trying to think of some regular couple cheating problem. I couldn't think of one. It was just something like that. And it is some regular couples that is like that. Like, they, like, had the same behavior as T.I. I was just using that. That was just one example I could think of. I couldn't think of somebody regular that cheats or whatever, because I don't know people like that do stuff like that. But I was just saying that in terms of, from what I know, for people that had to deal with cheating in the marriage or relationship, whatever, however you want to put it, but most of the time when they talk to, I heard a couple say that they went to counseling for it, and it was like a deep, like, rooted issue, like you said, why the person cheated. But then also, I saw some of them, like, most of the ones I see that recover from cheating in a relationship, they both took accountability for why it happened. And most of the time, it was certain things that was related to them in childhood, the way that person talked to them a certain way and all that stuff. And they would go outside of their marriage because the people they were dealing with when talking to them like that. And once it was revealed in that, they realized how they communicated was aggressive and all that other stuff, you know, verbal abuse or whatever you want to call it. But that I feel like I feel like people that overcame cheating in a relationship, they realized that their communication was wrong. The way they both were talking to each other were wrong, and how they overcame it was rebuilding that trust. And a lot of times, a lot of people don't trust who they with. And I don't know. I just thought with cheating, I feel like it's not, I feel like some people's concept of cheating is like, okay, I get it. Like, that's like the trust and all that stuff in there. But is it really that big of a deal? Like, what's the reason behind the cheating? Like, what do you learn from that? Like, what is it when you leave this relationship and you go somewhere else where somebody else cheats on you? Like, what is the lesson learned in, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, okay, you left the person that cheated on you. Well, I'm just saying that where is the accountability for the other person? Because if they leave the person that cheated on them and they go to another relationship where they cheat on them again, is it not a cycle of this might be me? That's all I'm saying. Like, is it really just that one person? if they have bad communication skills.
I would love to hear from Whitney.
So, if you've done this multiple times, like in multiple relationships, then I can't agree with it being both people at that point, because to me, like, sometimes people have to look at themselves and think, okay, I keep doing the same thing with different people. I got out this last relationship because I couldn't be faithful, and I realized that wasn't the one for me. Like, if you continue to do that, you need to be looking at yourself to see what it is about the people that you choose that triggers you to act in that way. Like, you're in control of your actions.
I'm saying accountability. Of course there's going to be, it needs to be accountability with the person cheating, because of course, I'm not saying that the person that cheated is not wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, where's the accountability for the person that was cheated on? That's what I'm getting at. And nobody keeps saying, y'all keep talking about the person that's cheating is wrong. Of course that's wrong.
Then you put both of them on the same level.
Not implication in the person that got cheated on.
Then you put them on the
same level. But if you're not aware of it, but how do you may not know that that person is cheating on you.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it depends on the situation. It depends on the situation. So, like, for example, if you have a relationship with two people and the person who ends up getting cheated on, if that person was under the, had the understanding that we are in a committed relationship, and committed is defined as we don't go outside the relationship for sexual intercourse or anything of a sexual nature. If that is the agreement, and then later on that person who gets cheated on, of course, finds out, well, they were under the understanding that we're not doing that. So now at that point, once that person finds out, that is up to them to decide if you want to continue being with that person or if you want to take a different step. If you decide, knowing that they cheated and y'all aren't going to go to counseling or something to get some help with that, if you continue to be with that person, then at that point, to me, or for me, in previous relationships, that's how I looked at it, then that means I know that there's a chance this person could cheat again, and I have to decide if I feel this relationship is worth that risk. But only at that point could I see that person being responsible for it. But again, like, it's how you define what your relationship is. It's not the same for everybody. If cheating is okay in your relationship and then you get mad because they cheated with, like, your friend, for example, well, you know, that was a risk that you took, saying that you could have an open relationship. And I've seen that happen, and that doesn't, you know, it didn't end well for that particular couple. But there's other people who, you know, that works for them. It's just, it's about what y'all decide to do.
Right. Let me jump in.
I'm trying to make y'all understand what's going on in my brain.
I hear you.
Let me jump in.
Excuse me.
Oh, go ahead, Lee.
Okay. I think what she was saying is, like, does the other person, the victim of the person that's cheating, do they hold any type of accountability or responsibility as well? And to answer your question, it's yes and no. Because I think, especially in long-term relationships, for every action, there's a reaction. And until your relationship is at a point where it blossoms and it matures, and you understand that your actions, sometimes your actions, when you react to an action, you'll take better accountability for yourself before you make that action. So I'm trying to frame it in a way that sounds, you know, doesn't incriminate myself. So the thing is, every action in a relationship, there's a reaction. So if it's a situation where one person is trying counseling, communication, dates, things of that nature, if they're trying to make sure that, hey, I need this need met, I need this need met, I'm trying to, you know, put us in this position where you understand me from, you know, emotional standpoint, a sexual standpoint, if there's effort being made and the effort's not reciprocated, then I think that's what leads people to do things like cheating.
See, you talking right where you answered it perfectly. That's all I was trying to get to, was that part of that you hit exactly what I was talking about, and you answered it. So before we go, I know you have a lot of stuff going on, but in terms of your music, what do you think in terms of the your musicianship? I just asked this little music question before we go. In terms of, like, where do you think, in terms of R&B, where it's progressing in terms of mainstream? Because I always want to get to that, because we know when white artists, or not even just white artists, but like a Bruno Mars, when they do it, it sells, like, you know, big. But where is it going to get to the point to where, do you think it's a problem with, I know this is a loaded question to ask you within like a minute or whatever before we wrap up, but where do you think that the state of R&B is in terms of mainstream? Do you ever think it's going to get back to the point to where, like, a Ledisi or Layla Hathaway, like, to where, do you think it's to where they just market them in urban AC, or just the fact that they don't market it in pop music is the problem, or what do you think it is? I know that's a loaded question to ask you in 30 seconds or a minute.
Yeah, I'll try to answer it. I love the landscape of R&B. There are some legit R&B stars with some crossover appeal, and just because they're on the R&B charts or the urban alternative charts doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have mainstream appeal. I think you're starting to see a lot of pop artists reach back to those R&B artists and stuff for songwriting, touring, inspiration. I saw Ariana Grande singing a Thundercat song, which was incredible. Like, Ariana Grande is, you know, probably the biggest pop star in terms of just pop music right now, and she's reaching back to Thundercat. So anyways, I love this landscape of R&B. I love where it's going. And I think as the new school of artists mature, like Daniel Caesar, her, you know, SZA and everybody. SZA, I mean, that's a great example of somebody who has mainstream appeal, crossover appeal, and who did a lot of cool things. Who's doing a lot of cool things. I think as long as the music's great and our people own the landscape of music, I love the state. I love the direction that it's going, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the future.
You know, you're giving me hope a little bit there, Lee. Thank you so much for coming on. Plug your social media before we go. We're going to do a Savvy Heathen talk and then wrap up the show. Where can I find you on social media?
Follow me on Twitter, Lee Trouble. Whitney, I am so sorry. You're just getting into the mess that is my Twitter account. So I apologize, Whitney, for any
okay. It's okay.
I hope you're entertained, but yeah.
Oh, nah, Twitter, it's all good.
Twitter, Lee Trouble, LeeTrebo. Instagram, Lee Trouble, LeeTrebo. Thank you guys so much for having me again. I really appreciate it. I'll try to come on as anytime I'm open.
Right. You have a Savvy Heathen talk before we wrap up? Because I don't have one. I'm trying to think of one.
A what?
A Savvy Heathen talk is just whatever on your mind. Whatever. It could be a savvy or a heathen. Whatever's going on in your head. Whatever you want to say.
No, not really. I don't know.
Whitney, you got one before we go? You got one?
Nope. I ain't got one either.
Will, give your Pinot Grigio talk before you go, because you said you claim I cut you off. I know you got one.
Claim, you always cut me off. Okay, but anyway, Lee, thank you.
First off,
you just did it again.
Proof
positive. Proof positive. You just did it again. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, you cut off our guest, so. I was cutting you off because you were cutting off our guests.
No, I said, hey,
Lee,
let me say something.
Do you have to deal with every week?
Yeah, we have to do it every week.
Plain favoritism that
hey,
I got to deal with.
Lee. Lee, I apologize for our host here.
I
really do,
we
Lee. We really do appreciate it, folks. You know, see. Okay.
I'm trying to help you out. What's the Savvy Heathen talk?
Wow. How much more time do you need, Q-Lan?
I'm trying to wrap up. I was trying to be on your time, sir. We on your time. I'm trying to make sure we get off on time.
You know, if you would shut your Republican mouth, I could go on and do this.
Oh, I'm fired. That's a Savvy Heathen talk.
My Savvy Heathen talk. That's right. Hey, Lee. Hey, look, I want everybody to give it up for Lee. Thank you so much for enjoying. And Lee, again, please forgive our host.
You don't need to forgive me, okay? You don't need to forgive me for trying to be courteous to our guests.
Trying to be
courteous.
Oh, my God.
And allowing them time on this show.
Okay. When you give us the definition of courteous, we'll listen. All right. Anita Baker.
The courteous is me. That's what it is.
Hey, thank you so
much. Y'all get into the Anita Baker tune. Lee, you need to listen to it too, since you don't know Anita Baker, right?
I'll get on it.
We'll be back, y'all, next week. Every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
I'll be out, y'all.
Yeah, courteous, right.
He said I will. Much love.
But this desire never seems to go away. It's gonna take much more than hope to bring you close. I think I'll pray. I hear you say you've got a lot to give up, and there is so much more this heart of mine can take. If what you have to bring to me is positive, you send it right on.
Soul 70 show every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern. Good Love. That's Anita Baker. Hey, stay tuned, folks. Hey, coming up right now, we have Arthur Shaw, Mr. Melody, and his Mellow Mood Show right after this. So I want you to just hang in there. Let's see, we're just going to play some music. And in the meantime, we're feeling a little bit of Rolls Royce, but coming up right after. Mr. Melody and his Mellow Mood Show here on Studio W. And tonight, the Quiet Storm. No, this is Artist Corner with Will Clark. Sure will.
You abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore.